Welcome to another revival message from Apostle John Pierre Becker, Senior Pastor of Revival Christian Church South Africa. If you are in the Pretoria area, come and visit us.
Romans 8, we're going to pick up in verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Say with me, Abba, Father. Everybody's got a daddy here this morning. Turn to your neighbor, say, I've got a daddy. The Bible says you will not fall back into slavery because you have a heavenly Father. You will not fall back into the fear of the absent father. You will not fall back into fear of an abusive father. But you have an Abba Father, whereby you cry out, Daddy. Say with me, Daddy. Galatians 4 and verse 6. Galatians 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba Father. Say with me, I have the Spirit of my Father. Say it one more time, I have the Spirit of my Father. The word Abba in the Arabic is translated as daddy. It describes a son who sits on his father's lap and he cries out, Daddy, Abba, which means that God is not a far God. He's near. Can you say amen? And you are seated on your daddy's lap. Can you say amen? Many people have the understanding of God the Father as groote God in die verste hemel. You know, that's the scene. That's the way they see God. Oh, God in the farthest heaven. Reach your far hand out to me today. No. He's right here this morning. Come on. He's ready to have intimacy with you. Come on. He's ready to build relationship with you. Come on. He's a father that hears your cry. Come on, somebody. He's a father that will not reject you. Come on, somebody. Say with me, Papa. Which means that you are in a safe place. You are in a secure place on your daddy's lap. Can you say amen? Say with me, intimacy with the living Father. I encountered such abandonment even growing up as a child. My father walked out on me when I was 10 years old, and there was a great void, a great emptiness on the inside of me, and I searched in the wrong places to fill that emptiness, to fill that void, until I had a sovereign encounter with Abba Father. I want you to know that not even a biological father can fill the void inside of you. It is a sovereign encounter with your heavenly Father. When I had a sovereign encounter with Abba Father, and I received the spirit of adoption, I could have a relationship with my biological father. But God, first of all, had to fill me with His heavenly love. Can you say amen? And this morning, there are many that have encountered rejection, that encounter fatherlessness in the natural. I want you to know Abba is ready to fill you here this morning. How many of you are ready for Abba to fill you? I say, how many of you are ready for Abba to fill you this morning? Say with me, Abba Father. When you study the Word of God, you see that there are three fathers that will have an impact and a role in your life. It is first of all, Heavenly Father. Say with me, Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is your source, your protector, your regenerator, your initiator. Say with me, source. Which means Abba Father is number one in your life. Can you say amen? Then there are spiritual fathers in the earth. Spiritual fathers represent your Heavenly Father in the earth realm. Then there is biological fathers. Today we're gonna honor those fathers. Can you say amen? Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 4. And we're gonna pick up in verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to pick up in verse 15. Let's look at the spiritual fathers. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. Paul says, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Even driving to the 8 a.m. service this morning, I was so grateful in my spirit for a spiritual father that impacted my life. Dr. Donnie begotten me in the faith. He begotten me in the supernatural. I come from his spiritual loins. And just driving there, I was so grateful, so appreciative of the fact that I had a spiritual father that impacted my life. Listen, many of you are being impacted through my life because of my spiritual father. Because if it was not for him that imparted into my life, that imparted the anointing, that imparted the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you would not have been in the service this morning. But I'm grateful, I'm thankful for a spiritual father that was sold out to the kingdom of God, sold out for revival. Therefore, I can carry the DNA of my papa this morning. I can carry the DNA of the supernatural because I had a spiritual father who carried the DNA of the miraculous. But even when Dr. Donnie passed away, myself and my wife, we understand the principle of fatherhood. Therefore, we came under the covering of Apostle Maldonado because we knew that we had to be plugged in. We had to be submissive somewhere. You see, Timothy was a great man of God because he had a father in his life. He had a spiritual father that imparted into his life. Nobody can go through this life alone. You need somebody whereby you are accountable to. Come on. You need somebody that you can submit under that imparts into your life. A spiritual father has the ability to activate giftings on the inside of you. Has the ability to impart the anointing of the Holy Ghost. How many of you are grateful? I say, how many of you are thankful? Now watch this. Paul says, I became a father through the gospel. You can have thousands of mentors. But you only have one spiritual father. You can have thousands of mentors. I had a person say once, you know, Benny Hinn is my spiritual father. So I asked him, do you have Benny Hinn's cell phone number? He says, no, I watch him on TV. Benny Hinn is your mentor. Let me teach you the word of God. Benny Hinn is your mentor. He's mentoring you. A spiritual father is one that imparts into your life weekly. You can come and sit at his table and he feeds you the bread of God's presence. That is a spiritual father. Can you say amen? You, Benny Hinn's spiritual son, when you're in Benny Hinn's church, can you say amen? Amen. So that is a personal relationship. Can you say amen? So Paul says, I exhort you therefore, be imitators of me. For this reason, verse 17, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved, faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Verse 18, now some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you. Verse 19, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but the power. Verse 20, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. A spiritual father is one that demonstrates the power of God. Therefore, Paul said, when I came to you, I did not come to you proclaiming a wise, enticing message of man's eloquence, but I came to you in a demonstration of power, so that your faith might not rest in human philosophy, but in the power of God. Paul says, when I come, I'm going to test the power. Do they really carry the power of God? You see, spiritual fathers, they are there to carry the supernatural power of God. That is the power of the Almighty Father. Can you say amen? That is the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Say with me, demonstration of power. Say it one more time, demonstration of power. Therefore, if any spiritual father does not demonstrate the power of God, he's not a truly reflection of your heavenly papa. He's not a true imitation of your heavenly father, because a spiritual father must demonstrate the power of God in your life. How many of you are ready to see the demonstration of the power of God? Verse 21, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love? Which means that in fatherhood, there is correction, which means a father can correct you. Can you say amen? If you spare the rod, you spoil the child. So Paul says, moet ek kom met die sambok? Of moet ek kom met liefde? Must I come with the rod? Or must I come in love? Or in the spirit of gentleness? You choose. You know what you're busy with. Do you need some whooping to bring you in line? Or just do you need some love because you know, perfect? But Paul says you make up your mind, because he's hearing about the arrogance of these spiritual sons and daughters. And he says, what do you desire? Must I come with a rod? There are times even from this pulpit you experience the rod. And you say, Ina, that hurts. But that is needed in your life, because a true spiritual father will rebuke you, give you the rod of authority. Come on. And bring you in line. That is to make sure that you stay on the cutting edge. I am not your mother. I am not here to mother you. I'm here to father you. That is the problem in the church. So many people want to be mothered. There's your mother. She's going to mother you. After I whip you, she's going, she'll put the Vaseline. Therefore, you need the balance. Can you say amen? She will come across softly and it's okay. But there must be discipline. Can you say amen? So Paul says, I'm giving you the option. In what way must I come to you? Are you so out of line that I must give you the rod? Or must I come in love and gentleness? I remember my spiritual father, Dr. Donnie, rebuked me until I cried. I would run into my room and cry. That is how he rebuked me, with the rod. Because, you see, I had some stuff in my life that had to be sorted out. And I needed those rebukes. Listen, the day he sent me out of his house, the day he sent me into full-time ministry, I said, thank you for every rebuke. Thank you for every rebuke. Thank you for the rod of correction. Come on. Thank you that you rebuked me so many times. There were times I felt like I want to pack my bag and go, I'm done with the church. But then the Spirit of God would say to me, listen, you've been disciplined in the things of God. I'm raising you up as a man of God. You know, so many people, if you bring the rod of correction in their lives, you rebuke them, they say, I'm out of here. Because that is the orphan spirit. An orphan spirit cannot take correction. You know, spiritual father can see things in you that you don't even see in yourself. A spiritual father has the ability to pull things out of you that you don't even see in yourself. Come on. A spiritual father has the ability to release destiny in your life. I would have still been in the world, in the clubs, if it had not been for a spiritual father that sorted me out. I remember I was so high on drugs, so high on weed, he would come and fetch me to hand out flyers. When I get in the car, he would go right through me. Rebuke me out of my plug. Just a few words of authority. And I would be sitting sober. By the time I get out of the car to go hand out the flyers, I was nachter, my bro. My brookie would be over if I hear that voice. We called him the white lion, because when he spoke, it was like raw. And I thank God for those rebukes. I thank God for those rebukes. He rebuked me into the kingdom of God. He rebuked me right into the kingdom of God. How many of you are grateful for the rod of correction? I say, how many of you are grateful for the rod of correction? You see, you can, when you receive the discipline, when you receive the rebuke, you're going to change and you're going to grow. Can you say amen? If you take offense, you will never change. I had to deal with my heart many times. I knew I was wrong. But you know how a naughty child is. Okay, you're all perfect here this morning. It's like you've been perfect all of your life. Say with me, correction. I knew even as he raised his voice, he would scream on me. I could feel the love of God in that voice. I knew it's the love of God compelling me to come into the kingdom. And I thank God for that. Can you say amen? I remember one night we forgot to pick him up. We were the armor bearers. And we forgot to go pick him up. My Lord. We were already at the church. We had to drive back, 40-minute drive back to the hotel. He was already outside standing in the rain. I just remember these words. Anointing without brains is nothing. That was enough, Tabo. Pastor Tarshis was driving the car. Dr. Donnie was sitting next to him. I was laughing behind the chair. I'll never forget those words. Brains without anointing is nothing. Anointing without brains is nothing. But I thank God for what He imparted into my life. I am eternally grateful for spiritual fathers. How many of you grateful for the men of God, the woman of God, that imparted into your life? Say with me, rod of correction. Say it one more time, rod of correction. We need that in our life. You know what I asked my spiritual father, I asked Maldonado, when I sit with him, Apostle Maldonado, I asked him, what is there in my life that you see that is not of God? I want my spiritual father to speak into my life. Even Apostle Neville in South Africa, he's a father in the faith. I would ask him, if there's anything in my life that you see that is not of God, speak to me. How many of you know this power in transparency? Where there is a weakness and a flaw, a spiritual father can bring correction in that area. How many of you are grateful for that? So Paul says, must I come with correction? For in the gospel, I became your father through the gospel. Say with me, fatherhood. Quickly go with me to 1 Timothy 1 verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, 2. To Timothy, a true son in the faith. Say with me, legitimacy. Say it one more time, legitimacy. Which means that there are legitimate sons and daughters, and then there are fake ones. Quickly go to Philippians 4. For those of you writing down, I'm going to teach you this morning. Philippians 4. And we're going to pick up in verse 3. Philippians 4 verse 3. Indeed, I ask to my true companions, watch this now, to help these women. These women were daughters, spiritual daughters of the Apostle Paul. Is there any daughters here this morning? Watch this. Indeed, I ask to you, to my true companions, to help these women to keep on cooperating, for they have shared my struggle in the course of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of all my fellow workers, those names who are in the book of life. Legitimate sons and daughters. Paul says their names will be written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4, delight, take pleasure in Him. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your generous unselfishness, mercy and tolerance and patience be known to all the people. The Lord is near. Paul says, I want you to look upon these spiritual daughters because they carry a gentle spirit. They are generous. They are unselfish. They have such mercy and tolerance and patience. They suffered with me in the gospel. I believe if you can reign, if you can suffer with a father, you can reign with a father. I'm not just reflecting on spiritual fathers this morning. I'm reflecting on biological fathers. Many of you had to suffer with your father. And you stood with your father. Come on. Therefore, you can reign with your father. Can you say amen? Therefore, I will never divorce my wife. Because she was there when I had nothing. She was there when I was broke, disgusted, and busted. Therefore, now she can reign with me because she suffered with me. If you can suffer with your biological father, with your spiritual father, you can also reign with him. Can you say amen? 1 Timothy 1, 2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, inner calm, and spiritual well-being from God the Father and Christ Jesus. Titus 11 verse 4, to Titus, my true child in common faith, grace, peace, inner calm, and spiritual well-being from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Even Titus, was a legitimate child. And because of his legitimacy, there was unusual grace and favor. There was mercy, peace that surpasses all human understanding. Even when we honor biological fathers this morning, you're going to see unusual favor rest upon your life. How many of you want to see unusual favor rest upon your life? Honor your father and mother and your days will be prolonged. Can you say amen? Quickly go to Genesis. Genesis 22. We're going to pick up in Genesis 22. And then I want us to read from verse 1. I want you to look at the legitimacy of a son here. And may that legitimacy be found in many sons and daughters. Can you say amen? Genesis 22, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Genesis 22 from verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Verse 2, Genesis 22, verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. I want you to look at this. This is a prophetic picture of the crucifixion. The legitimacy that was in the Christ, come on, towards his heavenly father. If you read this chapter, you see a prophetic picture of the son laying down his life for his father. Look at this. Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey and took the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Verse 6, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. How many of you see the crucifixion right here? How many of you see the legitimacy of the Son of the Living God? This legitimacy blows my mind. And I pray that this legitimacy will be in every son and daughter towards their biological fathers this morning, and even towards the heavenly fathers. Can you say amen? The heavenly father, can you say amen? The Bible says, if you look at this chapter, the Bible says that Isaac's legitimacy was revealed. Say with me, legitimacy. And there are a number of things that I see in Isaac. I look at Isaac and I see his legitimacy. And there are things that we can learn from Isaac's legitimacy. How many of you want that same legitimacy to operate in your life? First of all, I see that a legitimate child carries the burden of the father. This morning coming here, I said, Father, thank you for the privilege that I have to carry your burden. How many of you know souls is your father's burden? And on Father's Day, I pray that the burden of your father will be taken up supernaturally this morning. How many of you know his heart burns for souls? The Bible says that Isaac, he took the wood and he put it on his back. Isaac carried the wood. What does wood speak about in the Bible? The Bible says a fire goes out because of a lack of wood. Wood speaks of people. Wood speaks of souls. Which means as a legitimate child towards my heavenly father, I have a burden for souls. I have a burden for people. Come on, somebody. My heart is burdened with the things that burden his heart. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just like Jesus carried that wooden cross, Isaac carried the wood on his back, representing the burden for souls. Come on. Representing the burden to see people touched and changed by the power of God. So every time I become a vessel whereby the power of God flows, it means I'm carrying the wood, just like Jesus carried the wooden cross. Oh my God. Just like Jesus carried the wood, Isaac carried the wood. Saying, Father, I take up the burden for you. I will carry the burden for you. Many people come here with the cute self, but they're not carrying wood on their back. It's time you carry wood. Come on. It's time you take up the burden of your Father and say, I'm going to fill the house even more. Many people have the excuse, oh, my pastor, but the church is already packed. There's room for more at the cross. Come on, somebody. There's room for more souls. Come on. There's room for more people to be touched by the power of God. Therefore, it's not a burden to win souls. It is a joy. Come on, somebody. Say with me, it's a joy to put wood on the fire. A fire goes out because of a lack of wood. You want revival to stop? Stop carrying wood. You want the fire to go out? Stop carrying wood. As long as you carry the wood, the revival is going to continue. I say, as long as you carry wood, the move of God is going to continue. As long as you carry the burden of your Father, come on. The fire is going to burn brighter and brighter and brighter within your life. I pray this morning, let the burden of our Father rest upon our lives. Come on, somebody. Therefore, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before the Christ, he endured the cross. Like a faithful child, like a legitimate child, he carried the wood. How many of you are ready to carry the wood? I say, how many of you are ready to carry the wood? My Father's burden becomes my burden. His burden is souls. Come on. Somebody say souls. If you would put your head against the chest of your papa, you will hear his heartbeat. Souls. 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, carry the wood. Carry the burden. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost here. If Jesus could carry the wood, we can carry the wood. If Isaac could carry the wood, we can carry the load. Many people and many children think that it's the father's responsibility to carry the load. How about you take your biological father's load? Because this is how many children stand in the 21st century. But how about you lift the burden for your biological father? Come on. I say, how about you lift the burden for your biological father and say, where can I help? Come on. He raised you. He fed you. He educated you. Come on, somebody. Am I talking the truth here? All the fathers are quiet here this morning. Just say, at least say something like, hey, sort them out. Hey. Go for it, pastor. Say with me, carry the load. I believe many of you are going to lift the burden for your biological fathers. How many of you are ready to lift the burden for your biological fathers? Sow into their lives. Come on. Let today be the start of you carrying the burden for your biological fathers. Is there any fathers here this morning? Wave at me quickly. Wave at me. I want you to know that there's a principle of honor, and when you carry the burden for your biological father and even your heavenly papa, which is souls, you don't have to worry about my burden. My burden is his burden. Therefore, I'm not even mentioning myself because I am burdened with his burden. So when you say, pastor, I'm in you, I'm with you, I'm in with you for this, I'm here to carry your burden. You're not carrying my burden, you're carrying his burden. Because my burden is souls. Come on. As long as you win souls, come on. As long as you disciple, it means you're carrying the burden of your Father. When you get involved in the visionary process of this house, you're carrying His burden. One affirmed disciple saint is not even my burden, it's His burden. Come on, somebody. Winning the lost at any cost is His burden. So when you serve me, you're not actually serving me, you're serving Him. Because I'm serving His agenda. Therefore, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Him. Carry this burden because I carry His burden. Come on. This burden is His burden. Can you say amen in this place? So when you get involved, even in this house, and you get connected to the cells, or you become a leader, you go through the visionary process of this house, which is a profound visionary. A profound vision. Can you say amen? We are blessed and privileged. It means that you're carrying the load of your Abba. How many of you want the load to get heavier? Because the heavier the load of Abba becomes, the more powerful you become. The more dangerous you become. Come on, somebody. Therefore, this ministry must be a soul-winning machine. Taking up the burden of Abba. Say with me, I'm ready to carry the burden. Isaac carried the burden for his father. Say with me, carry the burden. Shout souls. Say it one more time, souls. Even when you tithe into this house, you're tithing into His burden. Which means when you tithe into this vision, you're carrying the burden for souls. Come on. That churches will be built. Come on. Churches will be planted. Say with me, I'm going to carry the burden. Say it one more time, I'm going to carry the burden. I see secondly, I see a true son and daughter. They go together in unity with the Heavenly Father. Say with me, unity. Isaac didn't argue with his papa, Abraham. Come on. Jesus didn't argue with Heavenly Papa. When Jesus carried that cross, not for one moment did He argue with His Heavenly Father and say, take this, I'm no longer in unity with you. No, He carried that cross in sync with His Father's vision. Say with me, unity. It's time you come into unity and synergy with your biological father. Come on. Say with me, unity. Agreement. Come on. You become one. That's what true unity is. Say with me, oneness. Say it one more time, oneness. And just like the Christ was in unity with His Heavenly Papa, we are in sync with our Heavenly Father. Say with me, in sync. In unity, they went together. Thirdly, a true legitimate child trusts and believes that the Father hears from heaven. You see, Isaac could have quickly removed him from that altar, but he trusts his father. Say with me, trust. Say it one more time, trust. Number four, a legitimate child lays down his life for the vision of his father. How many of you are ready to lay down your life for the vision of your father? Remember, I'm reflecting on three here this morning. But let's focus on two. That's your heavenly papa, because I speak for the fathers here. If I don't teach you how to honor your biological parents, who's gonna teach you? God will speak for me. Can you say amen? I don't need anybody to speak for me and give me gifts to say I love you. No, no. God will speak for me. I'm here to speak on behalf of your heavenly papa. And I'm here to speak on behalf of your biological parents. Are you willing to lay down your life for your father? Are you willing to die for him? Because that is what Isaac did. Even up unto death, the knife came down on him. And there on the altar, he still said, I will lay down my life for you. I will give up everything for you. Come on. He could have removed himself just like the Christ. Even on the cross, he surrendered. He laid down his life to the will of his papa. How many of you are ready to lay down your life? You know what the Lord said to me? When my spiritual father rebuked me like he did, the Lord said to me, your spiritual father is there to kill you, to kill your flesh. That knife that came down in the hand of the Father upon the Son is a prophetic picture that the Word of God is there to kill your flesh. So every time you come here, you're receiving the knife. It's chopping away the flesh. Come on. It's chopping away worldly things. Come on. It's chopping away sin. It's cutting away that which is of the world. How many of you know you need that in your life? I thank God for that. How many of you are ready to lay down your life this morning?
This is the end of the podcast. We believe that you've been touched and transformed. For more great content and updates in the Apostle, please go to our social media platforms.